Welcome back to the U.S. Naval History Podcast. This episode is about naval history in the making. It covers the Houthi drone and missile attacks on a guarded convoy at the Bab el-Mandeb Strait on January 9th, and then the U.S. and U.K. joint naval strike against the Houthi rebels in Yemen just a few hours ago as I record this episode on Thursday night. I'm going to take these two events chronologically, starting with the Houthi attack on the convoy going through the Bab el-Mandeb Strait on January 9th. So on January 9th, 2024, U.S. Central Command, along with the British Ministry of Defense, issued releases talking about a multi-hour battle in the Southern Red Sea waged by three U.S. destroyers, a Royal Navy destroyer, and the aircraft carrier USS Dwight D. Eisenhower off the coast of Yemen. What we saw on the 9th was the U.S. Navy and the Royal Navy establish a picket fence convoy escort operation. Now, ideally, a convoy escort consists of two elements. One is a picket element, further out and in between the direction of the expected threat and the line of ships being guarded. And this picket provides an early warning and also a first shot at any attempted attack. And then ideally, you would have a second close-in element to hit anything that gets through the picket screen. And this close-in element would have the advantage of more warning provided by that picket element and presumably fewer attacks to deal with because the picket element would take some of those attacking elements out, which means that the close-in elements can be less saturated and give a little extra attention to the attacks that do get through. Unfortunately, since the collective navies of the good guys, to which I include the United States and the United Kingdom here, have shrunk far enough where we don't really have enough ships to provide a two-layer escort in the Red Sea and simultaneously keep up with all of our other obligations around the world, that means that this escort consisted only of the picket layer, also known as the overwatch layer. And so what this means in practice is that the picket row of destroyers formed a rough line on the eastern side of the main shipping channel in between Houthi-controlled Yemen and the merchant ship convoy being escorted. And so if you look at a map, you'll see that Yemen sits at the very tip of the Red Sea, the southern tip. And the normal trade route from Asia to Europe and vice versa, and also Asia to the eastern United States, goes from the Pacific Ocean through the choke point of the Strait of Malacca just south of Singapore, west to the Indian Ocean, through the Arabian Sea, through the choke point of the Bab el-Mandeb, through the choke point of the Suez Canal at the other end of the Red Sea, through the choke point of the Strait of Gibraltar, which is where Spain meets Africa, and there's actually that little bit of Britain there, and then from there to Western Europe and to the United States. If any of these choke points get disrupted, it's very bad news for the world economy. This means that there is shipping cost inflation, which means that there's going to be inflation back home since shipping affects everything. That means that there's going to be supply chain disruption, and a lot of other really bad knock-on effects. The bad news is that the Houthis are an Iranian-backed militia who currently control northern Yemen, and since these guys are Iranian proxies and in general politically aligned against the United States and Israel and the rest of the West, they have taken this opportunity with a lot of Iranian encouragement and support and training, etc., to lob drones and missiles at merchant ships crossing through the Bab el-Mandeb Strait that they inconveniently happen to be right next to, and 12% of global trade passes through. But what makes this attack particularly interesting is what both Central Command, which is the U.S. Military Combatant Command that oversees the Middle East and North Africa, and what the British Ministry of Defense said in their notes. And so here I'm just going to read from the press release issued by U.S. Central Command. Quote, on January 9th at approximately 9:15 p.m., local time, Iranian-backed Houthis launched a complex attack of Iranian-designed one-way attack UAVs, unmanned aerial vehicles, anti-ship cruise missiles, and an anti-ship ballistic missile from Houthi-controlled areas of Yemen into the southern Red Sea, towards international shipping lanes where dozens of merchant vessels were transiting. 18 one-way attack UAVs, two anti-ship cruise missiles, and one anti-ship ballistic missile were shot down by the combined efforts of FA-18s from the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower, CVN-69, USS Gravely, DDG-107, USS Lampoon, DDG-58, USS Mason, DDG-87, and the United Kingdom's HMS Diamond, D-34. This is the 26th Houthi attack on commercial shipping lanes in the Red Sea since November 19th. There were no injuries or damage reported. On January 3rd, 14 countries, including the United States, issued a joint statement stating, quote, "The Houthis will bear the responsibility for the consequences should they continue to threaten lives, the global economy, or the free flow of commerce and the region's critical waterways." And so what Complex Attack tells me is that there were different types of attack, which they said, so drones, cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, etc. And they were probably all coming from different directions, and they may have tried to do something called simultaneous time on top, meaning everything arrives more or less at the exact same time to ideally overwhelm the defenses of whatever you're attacking and prevent these defenses from shooting everything down at the same time, otherwise known as saturating their defenses. Although it seems that this goal was more or less not accomplished on the part of the Houthis, as we'll see. And so this is the slightly shorter British Ministry of Defense's statement. Quote, "Overnight, HMS Diamond, along with U.S. warships, successfully repelled the largest attack from the Iranian-backed Houthis in the Red Sea to date. Deploying Sea Viper missiles and guns, Diamond destroyed multiple attack drones heading for her and commercial shipping in the area, with no injuries or damage sustained to Diamond or her crew. The UK, alongside allies, have previously made clear that these illegal attacks are completely unacceptable, and if continued, the Houthis will bear the consequences. We will take the action needed to protect innocent lives and the global economy." And so the interesting part there is the guns part, since it implies to me that the Diamond either used SeaWiz, which is close-in weapon system, which is a very short-range, about a nautical mile or so, weapon of last resort, which implies that the Diamond was attacked very directly and not just the merchant ships, or that the Diamond used its 4.5-inch deck gun, likely with some sort of KEET rounds, that's K-E-E-T, which stands for Kinetic Energy Electronically Timed, which is sort of a shotgun projectile BB round. And that's because, at least in the U.S. version, there's about 9,000 tungsten pellets that are jammed into the projectile body, which then is timed to explode in the vicinity of the target, creating a wide area effect against unarmored targets, aka drones, missiles, aircraft, small boats, troops. So it's mainly against asymmetric threats. And so this may be raising the question to you, what's going on with the Houthis? And the answer is that they have been popping off since October 7th in, you know, solidarity, so to speak, with Hamas. But why this attack, and why right now? It is because on December 9th, four U.S.-flagged vessels traversed the area, and they crossed into the Houthi strike zone after essentially loitering in the area for well over a week, almost 2 weeks in some cases, waiting for U.S. Central Command to get their crap together and offer protections to ships, to U.S. ships, crossing from the Suez into the Red Sea through the Bab al-Mandeb, which is that choke point right by Yemen and right by the Houthis. And so this is a big and complex story with a lot of moving parts. And I'm simplifying a lot here, leaving a lot out, but basically, the United States has been trying to coordinate an international mission to guard the strait against the Houthis, but it hasn't been going particularly well, with some countries, aka the French, off doing their own thing. And despite what I am absolutely sure is a ton of hard work from everyone in Central Command, something, hint, hint, National Security Council micromanaging, hint, hint, seems to be blocking effective action. And meanwhile, it is pretty darn clear that there are Iranian spy ships in the theater that are feeding intelligence and targeting information to the Houthis, who just so happen to not attack Iranian, Chinese, and Russian, other antagonistic countries to the United States, so it's not attacking their ships. And this has gotten so bad that some merchant ships have taken to broadcasting any affiliation with China that they have, either via a flagged carrier or ownership or crew members on their AIS. So the combined effect of what the Houthis have been doing has forced more than 2,000 of these massive container ships to take the long way around the southern tip of Africa on their way west from Asia. This is obviously bad news. And so basically what happened for this convoy escort is that the United States and the Royal Navies organized this picket, clustered a bunch of ships, trying to get safely past the Houthi choke point, and had them steam as fast as they could past the attack zone while the destroyers provided some cover inshore of the main channel. There are some pretty harrowing reports from the merchant mariners aboard the vessels that this was an extremely tense situation, you know, obviously, as the Houthis began what is described as the complex attack. When the shots started coming in fast, HMS Diamond got on the radio and told all the ships to increase to maximum speed to avoid the attack. And this attack lasted for a roughly 3-hour period, but most of the activity reportedly occurred for about 30 minutes around where the Iranian base ship was located from, and using some publicly available tracking data, it certainly seems as if that Iranian ship was doing its best to provide live tracking and live targeting to the Houthis. And from the bridge of those merchant ships, these civilian merchant mariners could see multiple interceptor missile launches from the destroyers and see the drones being hit in the sky. So that is obviously extremely stressful 3-hour period. These are commercial vessels with absolutely no defenses of their own, and they are completely relying on the Navy to protect them. This is an asymmetric style of warfare that we haven't seen on this scale against ocean shipping in a very long time, at least since the 80s during the tanker war, and that was 40 years ago. This right here is a far more serious threat than the piracy off the coast of Somalia or the Gulf of Guinea. The Houthis, who are a non-state player, they're a militia, quasi-government, is engaging naval forces in this complex manner and sucking up a lot of resources. It honestly reminds me a lot of the Barbary Wars, to be honest, and history may not repeat itself, but it sure does rhyme, so check out that episode. It was my second ever if you want to find out how the first Barbary War ended. Not well for the Barbary pirates, hint, hint. But that brings me to the second half of this episode, and the emerging second half of this episode, which is the retaliatory strike against the Houthis. And so this literally happened just a few hours before I'm recording, so I'm just going to tell you what's publicly available, and this is probably going to evolve, and I will update this story if it evolves significantly. But essentially, the United States and 5 of our allies on Thursday night carried out military strikes against more than a dozen targets in Yemen controlled by the Iranian-backed Houthi militias. And so we, that is the United States, led the attack, which consisted of air and naval strikes in response to the Houthi drone and missile attacks we just discussed, as well as the many, many, many other attacks that they had executed in the past months, and only after many, many, many warnings over the past few months to cut that shit out. And so on Thursday night, President Biden held a press conference and called the strikes, quote, a clear message that the United States and our partners will not tolerate attacks on our personnel or allow hostile actors to imperil freedom of navigation in one of the world's most critical commercial routes. Biden went on to say that, quote, I will not hesitate to direct further measures to protect our people and the free flow of international commerce as necessary. These strikes are supposedly meant more to damage Houthi military capabilities and specifically the Houthi ability to strike out at Red Sea targets. And they weren't directly intended to kill Houthi leaders or their Iranian trainers, which would probably be a bit more of an escalatory step. And this is one of those things where the United States does not want to escalate this. There is no win for the United States in an escalation. The winning end state is not a big conflict. We would undoubtedly win this big conflict, but it's not a fight that we want to fight. The ideal end state for the United States is for the Houthis to decide that they've saved face and just cut out the missile and drone attacks rather than get drone-striked into the next life, basically. Defense Secretary Austin said that these strikes hit radars and missiles and drone launch sites and a weapons storage area in a press release, and said that battle damage assessment was still ongoing, but that efforts have been made to avoid civilian casualties, despite, and here I'm getting away from the Pentagon press statement, the near-universal terrorist MO of placing their weapons and launch sites and storage containers next to, or possibly sometimes even inside of, schools and hospitals, etc., to make the targeting situation more complex and to give the terrorists some moral outrage bait if a civilian does die in a strike. Oh, look, you just attacked the kindergarten, you monster, death to America, etc., etc., etc. And so it's not completely clear yet to me what assets launched the attack, but fighter jets from bases in the region, as well as from the aircraft carrier Dwight D. Eisenhower, used precision-guided bombs to attack targets. We know that the Netherlands, Australia, Canada, and Bahrain participated to varying degrees, providing logistics and intelligence and maybe some other support, according to U.S. press releases. And we also know that Britain participated directly, proving yet again why we have that special relationship. And I'll just read from the British MOD, the Ministry of Defense statement, where they said, quote, four RAF, Royal Air Force Typhoon, FGR-4s, supported by a Voyager air refueling tanker, used paveway for guided bombs to conduct precision strikes on two Houthi facilities. One of the sites was at Banai in northwestern Yemen, used to launch reconnaissance and attack drones. A number of buildings involved in drone operations were targeted by our aircraft. So, you know, Britain essentially just being a complement to our strike package. The Houthis, of course, respond. The Houthis have a foreign ministry, proving that they are somewhere in that border realm from, you know, militia, unorganized terrorist group to state, probably falling closer to state, honestly. And they issued a statement, though, that said, quote, the United States and the United Kingdom must be prepared to pay a heavy price and face serious consequences for their aggression, end quote, et cetera, et cetera. Great, I'm looking forward to it. And as I am sure that every single pilot in Central Command is who wants some real combat experience and would absolutely be overjoyed at wiping you off the map. Conveniently enough, the Houthi leader who leads the Houthi movement was on television just yesterday and said that, quote, we, the Yemeni people, are not among those who are afraid of America. We are comfortable with direct confrontation with the Americans, end quote. Well, he got that tonight, and I hope for everyone's sake, including his family, that he has had enough and that we don't need to escalate this into a full-fledged tit-for-tat between American naval vessels and the Houthis, which, of course, has the potential to draw Iran to the conflict. Because ultimately, the Houthis will lose this, Iran will lose this, but it's just not a fight that we want. We need to be focusing on other things, aka the Pacific, aka Ukraine, aka all the other things that are demanding U.S. attention right now, and not these stupid little Houthis, right? Speaking of Iran, though, today, Thursday the 11th, Iran's Navy also seized a vessel loaded with crude oil off the coast of Oman, which had previously been seized for illegal oil shipments, so there's that to juggle as well. Another emerging story. So, long story short, very tense situation out there. No U.S. sailors or merchant mariners have been hurt so far. Thank goodness. Knock on wood. And I can only hope that stays that way. I will release a new episode with updates soon, as this is a pretty interesting time period. Naval history is definitely in the making. This will get a mention in naval history books, I guarantee it. Shoot me an email at usnavalhistorypodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, fair winds and following seas.